Yeah. Moshe Rabbeinu is now... Sorry? Parshas Zevorim. Moshe Rabbeinu now has started his last drosha before his death, and the entire Seder Zevorim is basically a chazara. It's chazara in a historical chazara, and also it's a history basing itself on the Klal Yisrael's mistakes, Klal Yisrael's blunders, and also there are a few new myths over here, but basically it's chazara.
Why is it fixed on the mistakes rather than any has translated on anything at all? Why daft mistakes? Why is it begin by saying and these are the blunders?
Because Moshe Rabbeinu it's I tell you why. David HaMelech on his deathbed took the final, call it revenge, on a few of his enemies. Shimon ben Gera, yeah? Yaakov Avinu, and on his deathbed, gave Musa. One has to realize when one's towards the end of one's life, one has very little agenda about MS. One has very little agenda about to actually clear off what you have to do. I don't have agenda, what? Petty aggravation. Or revenge when a person's about to die is ridiculous, and therefore the tzaddikim waited until the moment of MS to see whether now still I'm annoyed. Am I still annoyed? Do they still deserve the Musa? And if they still deserve the Musa, then that's a time to hit them now, because it's clearly I'm doing it for the sake of their own good rather than my own good. David HaMelech got a klala by Shimon ben Gera. Vahu kililani klala nimretzes. Shimon ben Gera gave David HaMelech a terrible, terrible klala. David HaMelech did not react until on his deathbed he called Shlomo Melechin. Why? Because although Shimon Gera is Chayv Misa, I don't know, maybe he was, maybe he wasn't, but he came to his deathbed and he still felt that I've now got nothing to lose anymore. I'm dying. You know, well, I should revenge now. It's not revenge. This is clearly done for the sake of his punishment. That when it comes to a person just before they're dying, the clarity is so clear exactly what has to be done. This is a perfect time to get things in order. Also, it's a very strong impact. People get very emotional, and people get very open to hearing what the person has to say if they know it's the last thing they're going to be saying to them. Okay, so Moshe Rabbeinu says to them Musa, and he says it in a form of very covered up. He says Ba'arava Moil Suf Ben Poron Ben Tofer Lovon Chatzeris Dizav, all these different things are different hints, says Rashi, to various different mistakes they had. Moil Suf was by the Yam Suf, but they complained of Mibli Enkvar Mitzrayim. Ben Poron Ben Tofel, what's Ben Poron Ben Tofel? That was in Ben Poron, the Meraglim. Dizahov was the Egel. Yeah, very covered up. That you should for their covered. Moshe Rabbeinu was extremely careful that you should not come over too harsh. And then the pasuk says, Ve'eva hayadim be'eretz mamoyo hoyo Moshe be'er hat esatora hazos lemo. Moshe Rabbeinu was Be'er, he was Meva'er, he explained. This is Perek Aleph Pasuk Hey. Hashem Elokeinu did Be'aleinu B'chorev Lemo. Hashem, Kodesh Baruch Hu spoke to us in Chorev, i.e. in Sinai, saying, Rav Lechem Sheves Bohor Hazeh. It is enough that you've dwelt in this hor, in this mountain. Pnu, turn, Usu and travel, Lechem Avoyaha, Ha'meir V'kol Shechinov, go to the Shechinah, Barava, Bahar, Shvei, Negev. Now this is something which is extremely crucial to understand. Klal Yisrael received the Torah. This is the world's greatest ever event. Receiving of the Torah, where a nation received national prophecy, a regular person, a regular Shifcha, every person was spoken to by HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself. Mamash Hanavi had Mamash Nevuah. Doesn't mean HaKadosh Baruch Hu spoke to them, hello, it means they had Mamash Nevuah, they had HaKadosh Baruch Hu in their minds. It was an unbelievable feeling. And they stood there by HaSinai, and they saw the colors of rock, and they saw the thunder, and they saw the lightning, and they saw tremendous stuff going on. Right? What did Moshe Rabbeinu say to them afterwards? Do chazar. Stay here. Stay in the midbar. Let's totally isolate ourselves from the world. No. Moshe Rabbeinu says to them, Pnu us'u lechem ha'amiri. Stand up and go. Now you got the Torah, move on. What's the lesson over here? The lesson is that one has to use the tools of a yeshiva, one has to use the tools of Bnei Torah, of learning and being in an entire environment as building weapons for the future. Building weapons for the future, knowing how to survive in the world out there. especially before Ben Azmanim. Yeah, one's going back to a world, back to the same parents, the same siblings, sometimes the same friends, the same challenges are facing you exactly the same as it faced you before you had the weapons to fight them. And with the Torah, with the idea of the concepts and the weapons and the thoughts and the morals that the Torah has given you, it's time to stand up and to go back to that society and to implant in that society the lessons that you've learned in the yeshiva world. It's no chokhmah to stay in a society and have nothing to do with the world and just remain there totally isolated from society, remain in your own little bubble. That's wonderful. It's wonderful to remain in your bubble in as much that you build up your weapons, but once you build up your weapons, you've got to go back to the society you come from and invest in that society what you've been learning. Moshe Rabbeinu says to them, you've received the Torah now. Go to the Har Moriah. Go to Kol Shechino. Varoba, Vahor, Bishvei, never go all over the place and start teaching what you've learned. Start imbuing the society where you come from. They see you coming back from yeshiva, and they see you look different. They see you behave differently. That makes an impact. That makes an impact on these people. So this is the idea, the concept of taking what you've learned and going out to the world. On the other hand, though, there is a school of thought that says that as soon as you know Aleph, go and teach Aleph. As soon as you know Beis, go and teach Beis. That's very, very, very dangerous. Because if you know Aleph and you don't know Beis, and you need Beis to survive out there, then there's no way that you're gonna keep your Aleph very much longer. If you only know Aleph and you don't know Beis, and you need Beis to survive, then you're going to lose your Aleph very quickly as well, and probably lose even more than the Aleph. The only way Klal Yisrael were able to receive the Torah and to be able to go to Har HaMoriah was because they received the Torah in a midbar. They received the Torah in an isolated society where they were able to concentrate on the learning fully, for the full period of time, had the best rebbeim, had the best society around them, were totally isolated from the outside world. There were no shops. There were no shops in the midbar. The guys didn't come, wasn't a fashion parade there. The clothes they wore on them kept them for years and years. Why?
I couldn't wash them.
A child was born, you have a picture in my mind of grown men with big beards walking around in baby clothes because the clothes actually grew on them. Yeah, not that could be cut, but the mice that could happen. The clothes grew on them, it was washed on them, because the mind was focused on what should be focused on. The generation of the midbar was so imbued in Torah, so imbued in the values of Torah, they were so invested in what's real and what's important, then they could go along and go to Har HaMoriah and go and teach them. But before they're ready for it, to just go out to the world and teach Aleph just because they know Aleph, that's ridiculous. A person will lose everything. This is what we're saying over here. First, you see the Torah in the Eva Yad and Eretz Moav. You see the Torah, Dibbalena b'choyrev leima, Kol Shbog spoke to us in choyrev. I.e. by the Torah, the Chorev in the middle of the midbar, he spoke to us. And then he said, Rav Lechem Shabbos Bahar Hazeh. When we receive the Torah in the midbar, and we've received where we should be, and we know what we should be doing, then you can go out and teach the world. Not before. But once you do have it, you've got to go out and make an impact. We've got to go out and make a Kiddush Hashem. Again, it's very, very important to realize how people look at you. You know, you don't think of yourself as somebody great, because, you know, I'm a regular yeshiva guy, and there's people who are much in higher shiurim than me, and people know a lot more than me. That's correct in the yeshiva environment. But an environment that you come from that's secular, and you've been to yeshiva even one day and they haven't, they look at you as if you're on a whole different level. They look at you as if you know everything, and you're supposed to behave, and anything you do wrong, is that's what they taught you in yeshiva. Yeah? Is that a Torah yeshiva? Yeah. No, not to say good morning to your mother. Is that a Torah yeshiva? Everything a Torah yeshiva. No, I didn't learn yeshiva. I actually learned it at home before I went to yeshiva. But that is everything. When they look at you with a magnifying glass, and that is our responsibility. It's very, very important to make a Kiddush Hashem and to go out of your way. Mamash, you should know that you're an ambassador of Torah, ambassador of a Kiddush Baruch Hu. And the way you behave, it can make a tremendous impact on those people. There's a certain... What was the story? Rashad told this to me yesterday. There's a certain father of one of our boys who, together with Tommy Lapid, started off the Shinui Party. Tommy Lapid is a very, very rabid anti-Frum party. Shinui party had 15 seats in the last Knesset.
Shinui
is a party out there to bash anything religious. Pro gay, pro pro working on Shabbos, pro Yom Kippur, working on Kippur, closing yeshivas down, pro joining the army, anything, second marriages, anything against Rabbeinu Shlomo. And this father was, he started it off together with Tommy Lapid. He was a friend of his. And his son came to yeshiva, just to teach him a lesson. And a wonderful boy, I'm not saying who it is, and you don't know him, I don't think you know him. And Baruch Hashem today, he's married with this boy. The son is married. Anyway, the father came to yeshiva. The father came to the Ofruf of the boy, here in Eretz Yisrael. And they couldn't even get him to come for Kriyas HaTorah, that when the boy gets called up. We couldn't even get him to come for that. Mm. We eventually schlepped him in for Haftorah. When actually got his Aliyah, he came for his Aliyah. He was not interested. As soon as he finished his Aliyah, he left Shul. Nothing. Anyway, he's sitting with us for different meals during Shabbos. At the end of Shabbos, have you heard the story? I don't think you were there. It's before your time. Were you there at the time? Were you there?
Before Gary's time?
What's that? Just before. So anyway, Shabbos Shabbos, he goes to Rosh Hashanah, said, do you mind if I say a few words? So Rosh Hashanah was, he can't say no. But you know, what's he going to say? You know, Herzl was right, and you know, and the anti's that. Anyway, so he stood up and he said, if this is what yeshiva is all about, I'm all for yeshivas. I'm all for yeshivas. And this is a Kiddush Hashem. This is somebody who actually all his life has had a, has been pumped with the Zionist idea of how bad or how what parasites are from people are, and with one Shabbos he changed his view.
What did you do?
The boy was just a mensch to him. They spoke to him nicely, and those achdus and those nice meals in just a short time. It's poshut. You've got to know that the tumah out there is so transparent that a little bit of kedusha, a little bit of light, has such an effect that can change people's the whole paradigm completely. Can switch the whole thing around. Just a little bit of warmth and seichel. Okay, let's move on here. The pasuk says. The pasuk says, I'm sorry, is it now from?
Yeah.
No, it's not from. But at least it's not empty. The pasuk says, Re'ein asat lifneichim hayoim. You got it? This is on pasuk Ches. Boyu go in the shuras ha'oyas hashnish v'shen avisechem, etc. And the pasuk says in pasuk Yud, Hashem elekeichem hirbe eschem v'hinchem hayoim k'choichve hashemayim l'roiv. HaKadosh Baruch Hu should make you numerous v'hinchem hayoim, and should make you today k'choichve hashemayim l'roiv, like k'choichovim of shemayim to roiv.
So why was this more for numerous?
In other words, what does it say? Hashem lekeichem v'seichem yosef aleichem. Hashem should make you kochem elef pa'omim, 1,000 times, v'varech eschem kashadibalechem, and bless you like kashadibalechem, like he spoke to you. Now this is a very strange pasuk. The pasuk says that Moshe Rabbeinu said to Klal Yisrael, you should grow 10,000 times. Kochem 1,000 times, you should be 1,000 times more. Now the pasuk before that says, Hashem should make you like the stars of the earth. What's going on here?
That's a billion times more.
Sorry, I'm sorry, again. Pasuk Yud said, Hashem nekechem hirbe eschem, Hashem has made you the hinchem hayoim. Hashem has made you numerous and has made you today k'choichvei hashmayin rov. Hashem has made you k'choichvei shmayin rov. Okay, so Rashi says k'choichvei shmayin hoi bo'isa yoyim, but there's so many in there, 600,000 ayinshon b'Rashi. Next pasuk says Hashem says to them, I am Moshe gives them a bracha, you should be 1,000 times bigger. Says Rashi, they were not very happy with that. They would only be 1,000 times more. Says Rashi, Mahu shuv yivarech eschem kasha dibur lechem. Hashem should bless you like he blessed you. I gave you a broch already. Moshe Rabbeinu says to them, you should be 1,000 times more. And then he says, Hashem should bless you like he blessed you. What's this double broch? The prophet starts off, Hashem should give you, should make you numerous 1,000 times more, and he should bless you like he blessed you. Well, what's the second part of the pasuk? It explains Rashi that originally Moshe Rabbeinu said you should be 1,000 times more. And they were very disappointed. They said, only 1,000 times more? Hashem said we should be like Kleich V'Hashemayim. Hashem should make us like the dust of the earth and like the stars. So Moshe Rabbeinu said, okay, you know what? you're right. Hashem shall bless you like He blessed you. My bracha to you is you should only be, it should be like a thousand times. Hashem should carry on His bracha. After Chasam Sefer, so why did Moshe Rabbeinu just say to them, Hashem should give you the bracha like He gave you the bracha originally? It should be like the dust of the earth. What is a thousand times? You know what? Hashem should give you His bracha. What's the idea behind it? What's the concept behind it? So the Chasam Sefer says, why is Moshe Rabbeinu give the bracha of a thousand times? You should be a thousand times more. And then he says to them, okay, you know what? You're right. Hashem should give the bracha like the dust of the earth. Why is Moshe Rabbeinu limiting the bracha of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? If you meant to give them the greatest bracha, just say Hashem should bless you like He blessed you. Why give them limitation of a thousand times and then say, you know what? You're right. Hashem should bless you like He blessed you. So the Chasam Sefer says, this is a very, very important concept. It's, you've got to remember this for life. He says that Moshe Rabbeinu was testing them. Moshe Rabbeinu said to them, why do you want children? Why do you want children? I need to understand that times have changed very, very much in the last, since the Industrial Revolution, things have changed tremendously. In as much that today you can have a computer, and which is so powerful that it can. The more powerful computer you have, the more people become redundant. Right? In those times, people weren't redundant. The manpower you had, the amount of success you had, was the amount of help you had. A person has had a farm, and he had 20 people to help him on the farm, he was 20 times more successful than a person only had one person on the farm, and nobody to help him. Which means, in the old times, there was a poshut and understanding that the more help you had, the more hands you had on board, the more wealth you're going to get. Okay? So Moshe Rabbeinu was saying to them, why do you want children? Why do you want children? Do you want children because you just need a lot of help? So Moshe then didn't know. He said to them, you know what? You should have a thousand times more than you are today. That's more than enough for just having a bit of farm help or getting help around the house. So they said, Moshe Rabbeinu, you're making a mistake. You don't understand who we are. That's not who we are. We are. We don't look to children as a financial gain, as something to propel us to greater fortune. We look to children because a child is bringing into this world an enormous amount of ruchnius. They bring into this world an opportunity to bring a child close to Avodas Hashem, to make another army, to make another soldier for Kadosh Baruch Hu. That's who our children are. But just a thousand times more, just to have help around our house, that's not who we are, that's not what we need. So Moshe Rabbeinu says, you know, you've understood the story. Therefore, our Kadosh Baruch Hu's bracha, that you should make it like dust of the earth, that bracha will now be Mekuyim. So Moshe Rabbeinu brought out, from originally saying from a thousand times more, he brought out what the Jews' feeling of what a child really is, and through that he made it possible that Kosh Baruch Hu to Mekuyim that Klausel should be so big. In recent years, people have made the opposite Heshman. In recent years, this is a discussion between Yaakov and Esav. Yaakov meets Esav. Esav says to Yaakov, 12 kids? What are these 12 kids for? Why do you need so many kids? You need help around the house? 6 is enough. Why 12 kids? Yaakovina says, Ashechanani Hashem. I'm not doing it because I need money. It's Ashechanani Hashem. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given me chayin. In other words, I'm doing it in order for HaKadosh Baruch Hu's sake. Today, you look at big families, and we've got to get out of ourselves this feeling of the Western society's view on large families, that they're eating up the world's resources. Yeah, and it's primitive, and you know, and these children are, you know, what do they know, and they don't have the same kind of education as you know, children who have two or three children, and it's much better to have small families who can concentrate, and then these children. This is a Western idea. There's a certain woman in Gateshead who was asked by a very nasty nurse in Gateshead, how many children are you going to have? How many children do you have? So she says, I have 10, and this is my 11th. She says, so how many more do you hope to have? So he said, when I get 6 million, I'll stop.
What did she say to that?
She peddled on. The idea behind it is, it's what a child is, what a human being is. One cannot work it out according to tax benefits. How much, if you have 5 children, that's a maximum amount of tax relief, and therefore once we pass that, then it's going to become already a financial burden. We have to look at life the way Jews are supposed to look at life. that every child has opportunity to imbue him with Yerushalayim, imbue him with another soul of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I can't remember who it was. I think it was a Bolz, what, the Vision Sereba. I think it was a Vision Sereba when his grandchild was born. I think it was him. He sent his son to take his grandchild. The grandchild was 3 years old. He had Peis now, and he had Tzitzis and a Kapalon. He told him to take him up and down Rechov Ben Yehuda.
Mm-hmm.
Up and down Rechov Ben Yehuda. Dizengoff in Tel Aviv. Take his little child up and down Dizengoff to show him that there's another new soldier that's just joined the ranks. Another new person, another from Jew. There's another from Jew who's proud to walk with his Peis and Tzitzis. This is the idea that we've got to be proud. Baruch Hashem, we have the concept, we have clarity in the film world of priorities. So today, people have realized that they don't need farm help. In fact, a child is a financial burden, and therefore, what do? You don't have children, because children are pains in the neck. They really are. They keep you up at night, they tease. They're pains in the neck, there they are. They have a tremendous amount of pleasure, but at certain times, they're pains in the neck. You know? Baruch Hashem, they've got a newborn child at home, but if I'm lucky, if I get 5 hours sleep, I'm lucky, 5 hours, including all the interruptions. Children are not easy, so what do you have? You need companionship, so you get yourself a fluffy spaniel. That you're coming through the door, a dog. And a dog runs in, and wags his tail, and is very cozy, and licks your hand, and brings you newspaper and slippers, and that's it, you know, it's fantastic life. You've got companionship, you've got a man's best friend, and you've got no kids. The idea behind this pasuk is that Moshe Rabbeinu has a given understanding of what every single Jew is, how special every child is. I heard of the story of a man. He asked now his friend, how many children do you have now? He said, 8. He said, 8? I've got much more than you. So how many do you have? He said, I have 9.
Mm-hmm.
Well, one more, so much more. He said, yeah, you know what a child is? I've got much more than you, I've got 9. But on the other hand, just to have children or to educate them in the Derech Hashem, it's very sad. Just a couple of days ago, I was at the outside of my nephew, and my sister, Mamish, he had a car accident, and it reached a stage where Nebuch, he had very little brain reaction. So I asked Shilas, and Shilas said, yes, he should. No, the machines should be taken off. So she knew exactly when he was going to die. So they called all the children in. She's got a big family, a very big family, and she called the children in, and she says, "There's only one thing worse than a child dying like this, and that is having a child that goes off the derech." So this child, I can live with. I can live with this child. Hashem gave it to me pure, and He's taken away pure. There's one thing worse than this, and that's a child going off the derech. That's what she said. Children never forgot that. And that is a person who lives with Yerushalayim. It's a person who lives with the priorities.
Well, but that has a flip side as well, because the people that are coming in for Bayad Shiva, that's exactly what their parents think. They think that there's only, you know, the next worst thing to them, you know, Hassan and Milo pass away, is them doing this.
Is them doing what?
I'm saying, like, that they see we get asking up the Derek.
It's not going up. I don't believe any parent in his heart of hearts has agmas nefesh, is upset that the children are coming from. They may be hurt.
The pain comes from an understanding.
They may be hurt, and they may be jealous, but by no way do they see going off the derech. They see sometimes if a child comes back and he comes back from a this sometimes you do see. Turn it off a second. Eicho, esol levadi, torchachem u'masachem, berichem. Next week's parasha, Eicho. Let's move on. Nice vote over here. It says later on in Perik Beis Pasuk Tes, "Benefen v'navo derech midbar Moav." He turned and he went over in the midbar derech through the midbar Moav. "V'yema Hashem Eli," Hashem said to me, "Al totzar es Moav. Do not fight Moav. Al totzar, do not antagonize Moav. V'atisko bo melchama. Do not make with them a chomo. That tzar is more. Tzar does not mean antagonize. You're not to antagonize them. Do not fight with them. And do not make them war. Kile etzim achom, outside Yerusha, you have no right to take them from the land. Yerusha, kile vnei leit, nasati es or Yerusha. Because to the children of leit, I gave them the Yerusha. Okay? So over here the Pasuk talks about the issa to make mochoma with moyov. It does not say though that you may not, in saying you should shepherd them. It does not say that you cannot bother them. You're allowed to bother them. You're allowed to bother them, you're allowed to annoy them, you're allowed to, you know, swipe at them, you're not allowed to make war with them, you can't take away their land. So the shaila question is, Moav. Moav and, Moav and, Ammon and Moav. The question is, why am I not allowed to make war with them, and why am I, yes, allowed to antagonize them and make them scared of us? What's the difference? And why is Lot so well protected? So you see in this week's parasha, just by the way, two people who did very, very interesting things, and we're afraid of them. In Perek Gimel, Pasuk Aleph, Oig Melech HaBoshan comes out towards Moshe Rabbeinu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to him, don't be afraid of him, I give it to him, giving your hands, and you'll take him and you'll win over him. So the Pasuk Shat is, we understand that Moshe Rabbeinu is scared of Oig because the guy was massive, he was a giant. Chas v'sholem, says the Medrash. Chas v'sholem, and Moshe Rabbeinu was afraid of Oig because of his height. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was with him. How can he be afraid of Oig because of his height? He was afraid because of a mitzvah that Oig Melech HaBoshan did. It was a mitzvah. But Yovei HaPolet, the Polet went and told Avram Avinu that Lot has been taken. Yeah? So he went and told him. So that mitzvah that Oig Melech HaBoshan went and told Avram Avinu and Lot was saved, for that mitzvah alone, Moshe Rabbeinu was afraid that perhaps Oig will have the right to win over him. Now, let's understand why Oig did it. Not because he liked Lot, not because he liked Avram Avinu. It's because he lacked sorrow. And he hoped that Avram Avinu would be killed, because all odds showed that Avram Avinu would be killed, and he'd take sorrow, because sorrow is a very beautiful woman, and that's it. For that mitzvah alone, he lived all these years, from the time of Avram Avinu. It's not really time for Avram Avinu. He's really lived from the time of the Mabul. Okay, so if somebody asks you who's the longest surviving person in history, besides from Zerach Bas Osher, who's still alive, Zerach, daughter of Osher, according to Medrash, she's still alive. Yeah? Zerach, daughter of Osher, according to the Medrash, says she's still alive.
Now,
still alive means where? Still alive. Zerach Bas Osher, according to Medrash, says she's still alive. Where does she live?
Yeah.
I couldn't tell you. Look it up in the phone book.
No, I mean, is she in the Olam, or is she like...
She's alive in this world.
Is she like one of those people that are alive in the end?
No. She's physically alive in this world. Whether she lives... I doubt she lives in Philadelphia or overlooking the Golden Gate in Golden Gate Bridge in San Francisco. She's probably living here somewhere. I don't know. I have no idea. Okay? No, she's not one of the snowbirds. But apparently she's... Okay. Don't worry about it. Okay.
How? She's 1,000, 2,000 years old?
She's much more than 2,000 years old. She's over 3,000 years old.
So, could she be alive?
What's the problem? Because she wasn't given her bracha. So, why? Hashem makes people die, and Hashem doesn't want her to die, so she's alive. What's the problem?
Why is she the only person that's still alive?
This is not another kasha. Fine. But HaPolet, let's go back to the point. HaPolet, Oig Melech HaBoshan, lived from the time of the Moach. Now, from Moach time, all the way until Moshe Rabbeinu's time, of how many generations?
From Moach time?
No, 20.
From Moach, to Avram Avinu, how many generations?
Ten.
So you've got Avram, so you've got Yitzchok, Yaakov, Levi, Amram, Moshe. 15 generations, right? 15 generations, Oig Melech was still alive. Why? I don't know why he lived from Noach to Avram Avinu, but you know why he lived from Avram Avinu until Moshe Rabbeinu? Because of the schus of saving Sarah, doing mitzvah shloi lishmo. That is a koyach of a mitzvah shloi lishmo. Even a mitzvah shloi lishmo, a mitzvah done totally not for the right reasons, that's the schar you get. Kal v'chol ben b'nei shel kal v'chol do mitzvah lishmo, how much schar a person gets. Unbelievable how much schar a person gets. He saved Lot. Now why was Lot saved? That his children may not be killed by Klal Yisrael. Again, Midik Neged Midah. Lot saved who? Avram Avinu. Avram Avinu on his way to Mitzrayim. Avram Avinu was told by the gates of Mitzrayim, who is this woman? What did Avram Avinu say? Achesihi. She's my sister. What could have Lot said?
No,
she's not. She's not your sister. She's your wife. should have taken away, Adam Bingham would be killed, who'd be the heir to all the wealth? He didn't have any kids. Not! Gewaldig, fantastic! He didn't say it. So for that schus, Lot's children and grandchildren and future generations, their land is not taken away from them. But, why? So therefore we can't kill them. Why can we antagonize them? Why can we annoy them? Why can we make them afraid? The answer is, there's a very, very nice understanding over here. They say the story with Napoleon. Napoleon was once in Russia. No, Napoleon was running away. Not sure from who, from a foreign army, and he was left without his soldiers. And he ran into a farmhouse, and the farmer hid him under a bed. And they came in. They stormed into the barn. Napoleon was there hiding under the bed. And they said, "Is he here?" He said, "No, he's not here. Let us check." And with the bayonets, they started poking into the bed, with the bayonets all over the place to see who was there. No, and they didn't find it and they left. Anyway, Napoleon comes out and said, "Do you know who I am?" He said, "I'm Napoleon. I'm the emperor of France and all the surrounding areas. You saved my life. You saved my life. In a few minutes, the whole divisions of army is going to come and it's going to take me away from here. What can I do for you? What can I do for you?" So the man said, "I have one request, sir." "So what is that?" He said, "I want you to tell me what you felt when they're poking through the beds with bayonets. When they're poking through the beds with bayonets, what were you feeling?" So Napoleon pulled him up by a scruff of his neck. He said, "You got a cheek. That's the way you speak to a emperor? You want to know my feelings? You want to know... You just want to know how I felt? What cheek do you have? What right I have to tell you how I felt? You just say, I'm willing to give you money, I'm willing to give you fame, but how did I feel? Did I feel scared? What cheek?" "Men, take him and tie him up." So they tied him up. This guy was shaking. He said, "Okay, firing squad. Five of you, pick up your guns. Pick it up. Aim. One, two." It must have been his aim. He said, "That's how I felt." Lot went all the way to Mitzrayim, and he made a conscious decision not to say that Avram Avinu is the brother, is the husband of Sarah. He said it's going to be the brother, but he didn't have the decency to say to Avram Avinu, "Don't worry, I'll keep my mouth shut." Didn't have that decency. Didn't have decency. He got Avram Avinu afraid. What? The whole time Avram Avinu did not know that whether Lot is going to give up the game or not. He didn't know. He thought perhaps Lot will, perhaps he won't. Who knows? He can't trust Lot. Lot never opened his mouth and not let him know. And therefore, the idea over here was that Avram Avinu had this chus of saying to Avram Avinu, you couldn't kill his children. But to make them afraid, to give them fear, that they deserve.
Revenge.
That they deserve. There's no revenge. There's chav o'inish in this world. It's not Avram Avinu doing it, there's chav o'inish. Chas v'shalom, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's revenge, but no person gets anything past the Kodesh Baruch Hu, whether it's good or whether it's otherwise. Nothing passes the Schav Oynish in this world. The idea is a person can do a chesed to somebody else. I'll give you an example. Sometimes family, Hashem, you'll be a parent one day, and you'll help your children. You'll help your children, whether it's going to be financial, you'll help your children. And you know, let's say for example, your child's making a bris. Yeah, grandchild's bris, your child's making a bris. And there's a shame you have children who are B'nai Torah and don't have that much money. Not much an example, right? So it costs your child to make the bris, let's say $1,000. Right? So this child, that's how much it costs. It costs a lot of money, right? Because let's say it's going to cost $1,000, right? So this child goes straight to get $1,000, and then he pays a caterer, and he's not sure during the time of the bris, is it not? I don't know, you know, what's going to be $1,000, how I'm going to pay it back. At the end of the bris, the father calls him to the side and says to him, "Such a beautiful bris, Yashem al Nachas, here's a little envelope." In that envelope's $1,000. That's why we're doing a chesed. So our way of doing a chesed, as soon as the child's born, he said to them, "You know what? The bris is on us. Don't worry about it. I'll pay for the bris. I'll be happy to deal with it. That's fine. Everything's fine. Don't have to worry. It'll be our pleasure." They both got $1,000. Because both, end of the day, the father paid for the bris. The grandfather, in this case, paid for the bris. But this is the difference of our totzer smoyav, which means not kill them and not even get them afraid. a person's got to do a chesed in a way that, I'll give you another example, a shalom zacha. Now shalom zacha, you make a shalom zacha, Baruch Hashem, made a few shalom zachas. What do people do? They're sending cakes before Shabbos. Right? But people don't send in cakes 4 hours before Shabbos. They're sending cakes on the way to shul. Right? So you never know whether you have enough cakes. You can sometimes come into the shalom zacha, literally hundreds of people, and you don't know whether there's enough cakes or not. So you're worried. You're worried, not sure. Do you know how much nicer it would be to send a cake at the beginning of the afternoon, and the person knows, I've got a cake, one cake, Baruch Hashem cake. If everyone did that, the person wouldn't even have to worry. You could do the same thing, you do much more geschmack, just use your brain, use it a little bit more. That is the idea of, don't make rochama, and then you can get them afraid. That's the idea of this parasha. Okay, but Hashem, tomorrow, next week, then Hashem is the last.